Good afternoon, Angela here with springsofzion.blogspot.com. So I wanted to conclude my threshold series. This is the second part of part three, so technically it would be part four. But I'm super excited to share today that the miracles of healing are happening. And God is looking for people to show his power and glory through. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. So I went to the eye doctor this week because I could no longer really see out of my contact lens on my left eye. I knew the Lord had healed me. And I shared all that, so I don't have to go into that. But the dirty shower curtain in front of my eye is gone. But my contact was, I thought it was just floating in the wrong place because I have a toric lens, which means I have astigmatism. It makes me chuckle, though. Not only does the Father heal me of my autoimmune disease in my eye, he improves my vision. He removed the astigmatism in my left eye. We serve an amazing God, don't we? Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer awaits the precious fruit of the soil. How patient he is for the fall and spring rains. You too, be patient and strengthen your heart because the Lord's coming. James 5:5, 7, and 8. You guys, every tree has a different fruit-bearing season. And those waiting for your miracle, I believe it's on its way. I believe God's glory is upon us. I believe God is working to purify his believers, his people. And figs, olives, grapes, your season is upon us. We're growing up now. We're all in a season of insight and revelation being released, which is causing us to understand who we actually are in Christ. God has placed you where you are, assuming you're in his will, to be a blessing, to be a carrier of his blessings to others. He wants you and I to be a fragrance of Christ to our lost and dying world. Shine for God. Shine for Jesus. Bloom where you are, where God has planted you. You and I are called to live the overcoming life, to be victorious Christians. This honor we take upon ourselves has been given to us by our King, our Savior, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. With this revelation, knowledge comes wisdom, power, and in order that we can access and walk in this revelation, we have to practice it. We have to come to an agreement every single day and declare to the Father, "You are more important than anything in my life. Make me look like you." He will honor this prayer and you will start to show signs of Christ in you. Oswald Chambers said, "No matter how difficult something may be, I must say, Lord, I'm delighted to obey you in this. Instantly, the Son of God will move to the forefront of my life and will manifest in my body that which glorifies him." This is how we get healing, you guys. In Acts 10, the Holy Spirit sets us free from captivity. That's what we're told. Where he is there, there is liberty. That means the enemy can't oppress you. Say this with me. I refuse to be oppressed. I have the Holy Spirit. I cannot be oppressed. I cannot be held captive. I have the Holy Spirit within me. And for me and with me. I cannot be held captive by the force in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we shall worship him. And then we'll sing, "I can't be held captive. I serve an awesome God." Probably much better tune than me, but something like this. And put it on repeat in your brain. "I cannot be held captive. I serve an awesome God." Wait. Fruit is bearing, right? What is the fruit that we're trying to bear? I think the broad term for the fruit is two things. Love, love for the people, and then love those who need a conversion for sin. If you bear fruit, you love people. You repent often, and you win people to Christ just by being kind. Let's take love first. Christ is like a vine, and you and I are a branch shooting off of this vine. And God, the Father, is like the vine dresser who prunes us back the branches so they bear more fruit. Since the fruit is simply the outforming of what has passed through the branch from the vine, we should ask, what is that we receive from the vine? What do we receive from the vine? The answer is love. Abiding in Jesus means abiding in his love, according to verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in love. Abide in me. Abide in love. This is specifically how we receive and are united to the vine. We are the sap of the divine love of God. John 15, 1 through 9. And it stands to reason then, what we receive from the vine flows through the branch and crops out in the fruit of love for the nourishment and refreshment of God's people. The other part of the vine is ministry. There are people like Jeremiah the prophet who anticipated starting his ministry at 30 years old. That's when priests became ministers. However, God had a different plan. He said, surprise! You're not 30 yet, and you're not going to be a priest. You're going to be a prophet. His wine for bearing fruit matured early. Jeremiah was another early fruit bearer. Then we have Moses, who was hidden in the desert for, 40 years? And he did not enter his fruit-bearing years until he was 80 years old. Of course, we have Abraham and many other stories to illustrate the different fruit-bearing times. So everyone can be secure that their time is not wasted if they're walking with God. I mean, let's look at David. David sat in a pasture with sheep. Joseph was in jail. And Noah spent over 100 years making a boat to build up his ministry. If we're obediently seeking the Lord, all of our anointing and giftings will come together in the right place at the fullness of his time. In 2 Corinthians 10, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the true knowledge of God and who we already are in Christ. And we are taking every thought captive through proclaiming obedience. This is a revelation of God's heart and will. Therefore, there is no basis for displacement, fear of displacement, or that you missed the boat. No. We should be secure in our relationship with God, in our gifting, and our timeline when it becomes fruitful. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:9. Although it takes each of us to find the narrow path designed by God to come into the agreement with him, he's already made a deposit within our spirit when we were formed. It's when we come into agreement with the truth that the fruit can be birthed. We allow for his spirit to consume and expand us so that we can be bold in faith and we can be without sickness. And we operate with his spirit indwelling in us. This is the place we know without a shadow of a doubt the authority we walk in through Jesus Christ, our King, our Savior, right? We enter his healing reigns over our bodies from the top of our head to the bottom of our toes. This is for every single person listening to my podcast. God brought you here because he knows you're hungry. He knows your faith. And he wants to improve and expand your spirit within you. His true ministry, his glory reigns, is about to enter all four corners of the earth. It's been over 50 years since his last glory reigned here in the United States. Is this the latter reign spoken of in Revelation? Perhaps. His glory is going to be found in living rooms, classrooms, churches, and even supermarkets. We believers are one corporate family, and when we enter the intimate relationship with our King, stepping into the Holy of Holies, the glory that's been withheld, we will reign over every single obstacle. Every single believer, no matter the stage of their spiritual journey, will receive this glory. Before I conclude the Threshold series, though, let's review Psalm 24, verses 3 through 6. I feel the Lord is inviting you right now, in this hour, and in this time, and in this place. We may ascend to the hill of the Lord. We may stand in this holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to any idol or swear deceitfully, he will receive the blessing of the Lord and be vindicated from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Entering into his presence, this is where we are transformed. There is a call coming from heaven. Who will come into the presence of the Lord? Who will seek his face? Who will set themselves apart? If you're alive on earth right now, this invitation is for you. You've been set apart from the distractions of the world to seek the Spirit of God. Stop striving, and this is not by trying. This is simply by being in God's presence. He will transform you. There is nothing you can do except sit and focus on God. Our mind is so busy. It's much more than an organ of just busyness. Our mind connects to the Spirit of God. And then through that, we relinquish our power of our thoughts to God. And then we can start receiving from God. The enemy does not want you to know this. He wants your mind busy and darkened so that you cannot enter, your spirit cannot connect to God. He strives and provokes us with all kinds of craziness. And if he can't come into your mind, he sends people. And then people say things. And then we're going around on this track, going over what we should have, could have, would have said. This is what keeps you out of the presence of God. To walk after the Spirit, every believer must inhibit their mind from involving, overactive, endlessly, this chatter. If the mind turns too long around one topic, worry, grieves too much, it basically quenches the Spirit. The Spirit becomes unable or hampered to operate within you. The mind needs to be kept in a steady and secure state. We read this in Luke 11. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, within thy eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But with the eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. So let's enter his glory reign. What is glory? Glory is the atmosphere of heaven, right? Glory simply means magnificent holiness, the majestic of God. It shows the importance, greatness, honor, splendor, and power, worth of God. And what does reign mean? Reign means to hold a royal office, possessing, dominating power or influence. When we put glory reign together, it means we can define it through Elijah. He talks about the rainfall, which is really referring to the glory reign. Glory is a divine royalty of God's power and honor, worth in a man's life that makes him rule over the affairs of his life. In this kingdom, it is God's glory that defines your reigning. Simply, it is the Holy Spirit that embodies God's glory. Friends, are you listening? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit when you're talking about God's glory. You're talking about the Spirit of God enveloping in a man. When you carry him, you carry the glory of God, and the glory of God is visible. The Holy Spirit is not the wind, it's not the fire, it's not the white dove, it's not the aroma. It's within you. The Holy Spirit is within you. That is the gift. That is the comforter. When we worship the Lord, our mind is at rest. That's why worship is when the cloud comes, because we put our mind at rest, allowing the Spirit to expand within us. This is what happened at Bloom. Our worship team has learned to usher in the Spirit by playing music first that activates anointing within each believer to build into a corporate atmosphere over us. God answers by opening heaven's door and his glory falls down. Each worshiper who has surrendered themselves can and receive healing because our barriers are taken down and we're open to accept the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is the recipe. At Bloom, it was through the corporate passion of all these women together, their anointing, their spirits together, ushers in and breaks down walls so that all those barriers that people come with are taken down and God comes to heal us. Holy Spirit is a person who thinks and plans and talks. John 16. He is a person. He's not an it. Never refer to him as a it. He's a person. He also talks. It was the Holy Spirit that turned chaos into beauty. Genesis 1:1-3. Then Hebrew translation says, light be and light was. That was not the sunlight they were talking about that was created on the fourth day. Creation was empty, and then the Holy Spirit began to move. In verse 3, chaos turned into beauty, God said. Let this empty void space begin to have light, and he was speaking things and began to happen. Every ugly part of your destiny will turn as I'm speaking this right now. Chaos was turned into beauty when the Holy Spirit showed up. That Holy Spirit is today will turn your sickness, your health, your sickness into health. He will turn your failures into success, your bondage into liberty, your darkness into light, confusion to peace, barrenness to fruitfulness, whatever ugly within you, Holy Spirit will turn to beauty. If you believe it, shout amen right now like a child of God. I hope this blesses you today. Feed your spirit. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.